Every day there is a forgetting, and every moment there is the possibility of remembering. Remembering who you truly are, awakening to your body, to the inner world and experience of being alive. Here is where you find the beauty, the joy. Here is where you free your soma.
Hello, and welcome to Free Your Soma, Stories of Somatic Awakening and How to Live from the Inside Out. My name is Amy Takaya, and I'm here today with a wonderful guest, Amanda Weiss. She is a trauma-informed yoga teacher. She's a recent graduate of the Radiance program, and as her day job, she's an operations manager in the startup tech world. She's here today to talk about her personal somatic development over the last few years since we've met each other. And how that's really been impacting her life, her body, her consciousness, and especially been supporting her own addiction recovery journey. So thank you for being here, Amanda. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited.
Yeah, great. So we met each other at a yoga studio where you had just completed a yoga teacher training, and you had heard that I was like the somatics person or the person who knew about somatics. And you had recently, I think, read Bessel de van der Kolk's book, right?
Yeah,
I think I said his name wrong. I might have added a vowel there or something. But
I don't know
you
how to
read
say it either.
The Body Keeps the Score, right? And so you were fascinated by the idea, the realm of somatics, and the idea that we hold memories and life experiences in our bodies. And it's part of the perpetuation of things like trauma and addiction. And, you know, these things we would generally describe as like dysfunctions in our nervous system. So can you say a little bit about like what that was, the time in your life was like when we first met each other and your discoveries?
Yeah, so it was actually a really, really scary time in my life. I had been having health issues that were kind of like just scary, and no one could really tell me what was going on. And for lack of a better way of putting it, Western medicine was failing me. They were scaring me every time I would go in, telling me I had everything from cancer to leukemia to, you know, they didn't even know. And I just knew in my heart that that wasn't what was going on. And I knew that there had to be something else. It just felt deeper than that, which sounds crazy talking about cancer, but it just felt like it was something else. And I started doing all this research on my own and started reading these books. And when I would read that it was these emotions like stuck in your body, like I felt that. And I didn't know how or why or where, but any sort of thing that I could grasp at that was in that world, I just wanted to know more about. And somehow you wandered into my life, which has been such an amazing thing. And I knew I had to know more. Like I just immediately felt drawn to it.
Yeah. I remember we had this like conversation while we were sitting at a cafe, and we kind of just like talked about everything around the subject of like what had been going on with you and what you had been experiencing. And this was also so early in my somatic journey with somatics. I was in a program through the Novato Institute. I wasn't certified yet, but we did a few hands-on sessions, and then you started coming to my classes. And it was this thing like that, you know, you'd come for a while, and then, you know, either I would like switch where I was teaching or wasn't teaching all the time, or there'd be these pauses in our communication or in, you know, your connection to this work. And then we would like link up again. And that's kind of just how it was for a few years. But there was a consistent interest that I could tell, like that you felt like this work, these movements, these like tiny little things that we were doing with your body were really providing relief in a way that nothing else really had. And you were living with, and it's so interesting because I think we talked about this too, you were living with and have lived with a lot of chronic pain that nobody can see from the outside. Like you're not walking around with a limp, like you're, you know, you don't have any visible, like, you know, injury to your body, but your internal somatic experience has been one of living with a lot of chronic pain. And yeah, and it's an interesting thing when people can't see that, when there's nothing to cue people in from the outside. Like from the outside, you look like this fit, healthy, beautiful young woman, but like what you're experiencing is very different.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on like so many things, ironically, that I was thinking about earlier today. But I think part of the like ebb and flow of my connection with the somatic work was the ebb and flow of the connection with myself. And it was like every time you would give me like, and I mean this in a good way, but you'd give me like a tiny little key to a door, and I would like crack it open. And sometimes I wanted to see what was back there, and sometimes I didn't. And it was all these little steps to myself. And you know, there would be times where some of that chronic pain that you were just speaking of would lessen. And sometimes it felt worse to not be in pain because you're so used to this like tightly wound, you know, internal system. And to have that sort of relax, I think, you know, a lot of us have been through that experience where you let it go. And it almost makes you feel like sick. Like it's all this other stuff that comes up with just, oh, my shoulder moves a little bit better. It's so much more than that, that like I would get scared and it would make me sort of like, maybe I'm not ready for this. Maybe this isn't the time. And, you know, I had so much other stuff going on that, you know, I know you saw it and we've talked about it, but, you know, there was this ebb and flow of connecting with myself that corresponded with somatic.
Yeah, and that's really true. I went through that as well with, you know, releasing tightly wound spaces in our bodies releases some of the emotional experiences that are held there. And then there's a shift in everything, in our nervous system, in our, you know, memories might start to resurface, feelings that we were not facing start to resurface. And it can be very confrontational. So I totally get what you mean about, you know, sometimes cracking open that door and not sure if you're ready for it, you know, and it's actually funny because that process and that going through that myself is actually part of why I created the Radiance program so that people could go into a deep dive of this stuff with a lot of support, with a lot of structure, so that they don't just feel like they do a session with me and then they're kind of flailing. They do a session and then they have support, they have a structure, they have like a time commitment of like space that this is for, you know, for this unwinding and letting go process to take place. You know, with the chronic pain that you were in, you know, having it lessen, you mentioned it being like almost hurting more, like because of that flood of feelings and sensations and emotions and maybe memories, but also just like we get used to what we get used to. And something new and different, like being able to actually like move comfortably, you know, there can sometimes be like a pressure of like, well, what am I going to do now? Now that I'm not wound up by this, you know, is and it, we can maybe you felt some of that, like, who am I and what am I going to do with my life if I'm not just focused on maintaining all of these tensions and all of this pain? Like, who would I even be?
So much so. And I think not even just the like, who would I be, but it almost made me feel like I had failed not being able to figure this out earlier. Because like I had spent, and I'm sure we'll touch on it, you know, throughout this conversation, but you know, I had spent my most of my life, if not my whole life, trying to run away and avoid my body. And you know, to finally take this time to like listen to it, like made me feel bad in the way of like, you know, when you don't connect with a friend for a long time and you have that conversation and you realize, oh, like you've been hurting and I should have been there for you. Like I was having that, but internally. And you know, with the Radiance program, you're right. Like there is this like huge support system and it's like a safe space to be able to let go. And you know, we were both growing so much when we first met and we were going through this. And I think that like I wasn't ready to let go. And you know, I think you were still learning how to be the person to lead people through this experience. And I think it was so perfectly timed the way we got to do all this together because, you know, the tiny world that is it feels inside of you is massive. And you know, as you're opening these doors and letting stuff go, it's just the good, the bad, and the ugly. Has a chance to all come out, and having the place to do it was incredible. And I wasn't ready before, you know, this last year.
Well, and you did a lot of releasing right before you joined the Radiance program because you moved across the country and you let go of a whole life and lifestyle that you had been living. And it seemed like there was this really big shifting that was sort of taking place in your life in general. And so I remember that, like, I had reached out and kind of said, hey, like, I don't know if you're interested, but my program's going to start in like a month or two. Do you want to join? Like, I had reached out and just sort of asked that of you. And I guess I asked at just like the perfect moment. Can you say a little bit about like what that was like to receive that message?
Yeah, so I can paint a picture. I was actually at my friend's house here in Georgia, and I was in an upstairs bedroom as we're having the conversation, and I'm like pacing back and forth. I don't know if you could hear it in my voice, but like I knew it was time, and I like knew I was scared, and I had been, for 20 something years, someone who used escapism to get away from emotions, and I was addicted to not feeling. And that comes in a lot of socially acceptable and socially unacceptable behaviors. And like you said, you would never know that I was in pain looking at me from the outside. I don't think most people knew that I had an addiction issue from the outside either. And it ranged everywhere from exercise addiction, which is one that's highly encouraged, unfortunately, restrictive food addiction, alcohol addiction, drug use. I mean, just everything that you can think of. I tried it along the way, just to escape. And with my partner, we chose to move from California to Georgia, which people thought was crazy. And it was just this, we were just ready for something different. Like we knew what life was, and we wasn't that everything was bad or anything like that, but we just wanted to see what else there could be. And I saw it as this moment to be able to purge. And I had been keeping my addictions at bay for so long, and that was exhausting, that I decided to just say, I don't know if I can curse or not, but fuck it, and just let them get bad. I let all my addictions take over me, and I let my drinking get bad, and I mean, just everything you can think of, I just let it overwhelm me. And it forced us to a place to be honest with one another, and it was this whole new life and this whole new communication, and it just was like the bubble popped, and it was finally quiet. And it was that like perfect moment, and it was like right around that time that you called me, and I'm in this new like trying to figure out what it means to not avoid emotions and not avoid myself. And then here you are with this like gift on a silver platter, and I'm like, yeah, like now's the time. So it was so serendipitous. It was amazing.
I super relate to what you're saying about like letting things get really dark as like a way of basically reaching the point of no return where you're just like, okay, like it's almost like the last hurrah of like a part of yourself that's just like, going to keep this thing going and this thing alive until it literally runs itself out, right? And it sounds like that's where you went, like, and moving across the country, leaving behind like the whole lifestyle and like, support system that you did have and kind of being on your own with your partner, probably like really catalyzed that, first of all, that like deep dive into the darkness to like emerge, it just seems like it was a really strong catalyst for all of that shifting to occur. And, having you in the Radiance program was really exciting and wonderful for me because you were someone who had been with me like on my journey a little bit through becoming, a somatic educator after being a yoga teacher, as my primary mode of like, supporting other humans and their well-being, right? And I knew that we related a lot in terms of how we like taught and experienced yoga. And I remember early on, like we had a lot of conversations about somatics and somatic like ways of helping people in their yoga practice. And I know you went on to do like a trauma-informed yoga training. And it actually, when you told me things about trauma-informed yoga and when I've gone and like looked it up, it's actually really similar to somatic yoga principles. Would you say a little bit about like your training from just what you learned when you first became a yoga teacher and how you taught, how you practiced, and then like discovering somatics, discovering trauma-informed yoga, how that kind of shifted things for you?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that probably a lot of people don't want to hear is the way yoga is taught in the West actually feeds into addictive behavior a lot. It is a way to escape from your body, and that's honestly like the way that I had grown to love it, and kind of the way initially I went into learning it, because it's like this intense and hard, and you know, you're holding things for as long as you can, and you're getting those gold stars, and you're doing the form the best you can, and it becomes this like form of escaping. And that was kind of what drew me to it, was it was this hour where I could just not exist in my body, because I was forcing it, and I mean forcing it, to do these really tough things, and it was doing it. And you know, as I was learning how to teach it, it was not from a harmful place intentionally, but I think it was coming from this place of like, that's how people want to be taught. And so like, you hold it for a long time and you breathe through it, and it's, you know, uncomfortable is good, and you know, all the things. We've all been in those yoga classes. But learning from trauma-informed yoga, I actually learned from, and I'm totally blanking on the name, but it's a group that teaches yoga in prisons. And it does the exact opposite, where it's not you tell people how long to hold it. You don't tell people how much effort they put into it. You really don't give them that many poses to do. It's very much just follow your breath, follow your heart, become present, live in your body. And, you know, that to me is very much somatics, from having done a lot of that. And, you know, learning trauma-informed yoga was really scary, because here I was wanting to learn these things, wanting to help other people, and I would do some of this work myself, and I would have an anxiety attack, because it wasn't safe inside my body, and it was scary inside my body. So it was like, for whatever reason, I just kept doing and taking on these things that were scaring me like crazy and were really uncomfortable. But like, I knew I needed to get there, and I knew I needed to learn it, and I knew I needed to hear it in all these different ways. And you're so right. Like, somatics is so connected, or somatic yoga is so connected with trauma-informed yoga, because it takes the instructor out of it a little bit, and it takes the expectations, and it takes like the addictive nature of being the best out of it, because there is no way to be the best at it. You just do what feels right for you, and it may look so small and insignificant from the outside world, and it could be changing your whole universe. And I think it's sort of just shedding that ability to be the best that I think made it really, you know, approachable and for what I needed it for.
Yeah. Well, there's a certain kind of like, you know, especially in, you know, the United States and different Western countries, and this certainly bled over to all the other countries, because I taught in many different countries all over the world. And so like, I could kind of see the way that, you know, there's this like sportsmanship kind of, you know, athleticism that has, you know, created a branch of yoga and a branch of yoga style that, you know, emphasizes that it's hard physically, right? And that things that are hard physically, yes, are also hard mentally. But there's another kind of like challenge, which you just touched on and spoke about, which is the challenge of being gentle, the challenge of listening attentively and responding to your body's cues as your body is giving them to you, rather than simply forcing and overriding and conquering your body, right? Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of challenge. It's a different kind of difficult. I would actually say that for me, going slow, being tender, and facing the parts of myself that were holding pain and sorrow and sadness and like, you know, despair, facing those parts of myself was much, much harder than simply just cranking my body into a deep back bend. It was harder. It was a different kind of challenge, you know? And we, you know, when we do something really physically intense, we get all these like hormones and like feel good chemicals rushing through our bodies, right? Because we kind of put ourselves into that like intense level of survival mode, right? But there are other, like you said, there are other kinds of things that will also trigger that survival mode that don't come along with like this big surge of chemicals, you know? So you could be doing what looks like from the outside, like barely anything in a yoga pose, but you could be having this very confronting internal experience of facing yourself, right? In this really intimate way that like, you know, from the outside, it just looks like you're in child's pose. It just looks like, oh, she's taking a break. She's not doing anything, right? Versus somebody who's doing this really intense, like super bendy pose. Everyone looks at that and goes, oh, wow, look, she's doing something so hard, right? But that could be actually easier than, you know, doing that really, really slow child pose and sensing in and paying attention to everything that you're feeling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for me, like I had spent so much of my life like learning to dissociate from my body and like not be present in it and all those sort of things. So like you said, that really hard back bend or the handstand or the whatever, like there is this level of like dissociation you can do when you do this a lot that like, I'm not really present in my body. Sure, it looks like you're holding this posture and it must take so much effort and whatever, but like you just do it all the time and like you really aren't present. And you know, you, not that it's for everybody, but like I wasn't present and I wasn't really experiencing what my body was going through because most of the time my body was in pain. I'm doing these poses and I'm doing these things and they're incredibly painful and they don't feel good. And so I'm shutting off inside because this is what I do when my body isn't safe. And I'm doing a good job and I'm getting told I'm really good at it. And I'm getting told I should teach and I'm getting to, you know, like I'm getting all these things that then feel good because it's this external validation, but like inside of my body, it was just another damaging thing that I was doing to myself under the guise of I'm taking care of myself. And, you know, when it comes to when I got to do somatics with you and like trying out somatic yoga and stuff, like you said, it was just the amount of stuff that's going on when you're doing those little movements is just, it's just insane. Like I have, can't tell you how many times we would do stuff and I'd go sit in my car and my heart would be racing after I would do a class. And it's like, if you've never done it, it's hard to imagine, but it would just be such an overwhelming experience that like, I was having, like you said, that rush of emotions or endorphins or, you know, whatever it might be. And it was so much more of a experience than doing those really hard poses, which, you know, 10 years ago, I never could have imagined something like that.
Yeah. It blew my mind too. It definitely like was amazing to me that like, you know, when I first started, I was very dissociated from my body. And so, you know, someone like my dad, who was my first somatic educators, would ask me like, oh, how does your leg feel? You know, it's like, oh, it feels like a leg or it hurts. Like there were these really simple answers and it almost felt like, why are you even asking me this? You know? And then as I kept getting that question asked and as I kept developing like awareness, it was like, oh, like my leg had like feeling in it. It wasn't just, you know, that it hurt. My leg was angry. You know, my leg was feeling sorrow and, you know, all of these things. Like there was emotion and stored memories and experiences that were locked up in there, you know, with the pain that I was feeling. So I completely relate to what you mean about like the way that these tiny, tiny experiences have such a huge impact on our bodies, you know. But there's also like this point, and I know that you went through it with, you know, the deep dive we did in the Radiance program, where like you kind of move through things enough times that you actually start to experience being relaxed as actually relaxing instead of like strangely triggering, right? You actually meet yourself in this place of like, oh, I'm relaxed. I'm actually comfortable being relaxed because I've practiced it enough and I've been here enough times that I know that it's okay to relax and I know that I'm safe, you know? And so I know that, you know, there's been points, especially during the Radiance program, where you really kind of like broke through to feeling that sense of safety in your body.
Yeah, and for me it was twofold. You know, part of it was I didn't know what it felt like to feel safe in my body. So, you know, anything that's novel is scary. So, you know, getting past that to where it was like, oh, this is what it feels like to relax. This is okay to feel this way. And the other part of it, which to me was the biggest and the hardest hurdle, was I deserve to feel this way because I didn't feel like I deserved to be comfortable and I didn't deserve to feel safe. And that was like huge going through the program and, you know, being able to talk with everyone in the group and talk with you and like be able to share those sorts of things of like, I never thought I was going to feel safe and I never thought I deserved to feel safe. So those two things were massive.
Yeah. And we don't even, that's one of those things that's very unconscious most of the time. We hear that voice of judgment or that voice of negativity so often in our heads that we don't even question it. It's just how it is, you know? And then suddenly you like hear yourself one day and you go, oh wow, like I am keeping myself from being able to enjoy my life or enjoy my experience because I have this, you know, voice of this protector who's maybe trying to protect me from something that happened a long, long time ago, right? Who's still speaking to me, and I'm believing that I am unworthy. I'm believing that I am, that it is not okay for me to enjoy and receive and feel good in my body. And yeah, I love that that was something that you really started to shift during the program. And then I'm sure it's a process, just like it is for me. It's like a continuous process of shifting out of these lifelong patterns, right? But one of the things you brought up while you're in the program that I'd love for you to say something about is how this impacted, you know, your relationship with your partner and your ability to actually be present with him.
Oh my God, in like every way possible. I mean, for one, it like really allowed me to like not drink. And that was something that like I had never done. I mean, we've been together forever. And, you know, it wasn't that it was always a constant thing in my life. I wasn't constantly drinking every day, all day, every day. But like, I always did. And we'd go out and we would, you know, do something fun. And there was always alcohol involved. And I, you know, it was in every facet of my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so, you know, having the support of this program and everything allowed me to not drink alcohol and to not do these avoidance things and to like force myself to be present. And it, you know, allowed us to have conversations that we never knew we needed to have and get to know each other in a way that after, I mean, I don't even know how long we've been together, but you know, we met when I was 18, I'm 36 now. And yeah, I think we've been together like 9 years this go around. And, you know, there's things that I learned about him because I was able to be open and be present. And it helped so much, like with my anxiety and being able to be open and honest with like mental health stuff that I have. Like I get embarrassed when I feel depressed. And that kind of went away. It was like, this is how I feel today. And it's nothing you did wrong. And it, you know, there's no way to fix it at this, like this moment. And I'm happy to do this thing with you, but I'm probably going to seem a little bit like Eeyore all day. And that helped because then he knew like he didn't do anything wrong. I wasn't mad at him. Like I wasn't not enjoying myself. I wasn't this, I wasn't that. It was just, I was depressed that day, but the day was fine. And like everything we were doing was great. And, you know, being able to have those open and honest conversations was just, I mean, massive for both of us.
Yeah. So awesome. And like say it and just speak it out loud. You know, and we did actually, for anybody who, you know, is on my Instagram or YouTube, I think I just added this to YouTube. We did that whole jaw work session, you know, and in working somatically with like the rest of your body, but then also doing jaw work and any work that we do with like your neck. I mean, your neck has been an area that you've really done a lot of work with, especially during the program, right? It frees up your expression. It frees up your ability to actually say and let out what's inside. Because so many times, like, first of, it's kind of twofold. It's like, first, if you don't have that connection inside yourself, and if you're just used to like avoiding and turning away, like you don't even know what it is that you need to say. Like that's, you're just like, someone asks you, how are you? And you just like give them some answer because like, you don't really know, like you're not actually asking that question, you know? But in the somatic work, we not only like ask you to check in and feel in and sense in, but then we ask you to like literally do these tiny little things to address how you feel, you know, to like make the movement more comfortable or to make the movement, you know, more smooth or just things like this that are really, they seem really small, but it's you like attending to your inner environment, like attending to what you're experiencing. And then combined with that opening process of like opening up your chest, opening up your back, opening up your stomach, opening up your throat, you're allowing what is inside to start moving in you and out of you. And that comes in the form of like better communication. And like, that's something that will often, you know, if I'm doing, you know, a first time session with someone, and I did a couple this weekend, actually, where we did like jaw work, I will let them know, I'll be like, just so you know, this is, we're doing something pretty intense here. We are freeing up your self-expression. We're going to make that more comfortable and easy for you. So just know that. Know that like things might start shifting, hopefully in a good way. But you know, if you are having, you know, relationships where like the communication has been an issue and the person that you're communicating with is not ready to receive you, then it could be a little murky, you know. But it sounds like with your partner, he was really ready to receive you and probably had been waiting, kind of probably been waiting to receive you for a long time. So it sounds like it was a really beautiful opening in your relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that you say that, because one of the things that probably people need to be warned is like, when you do all of a sudden have this like feeling of wanting to share because you know how you feel and it's not something that you're used to doing, you're not very good at it. So like, you know, I think one of the things I learned, and it corresponded with going through the program, was like, at first it's just this like, there's just so much coming up and so much coming out, and there's such a huge difference in how your body feels and so many changes week over week, and like all this stuff is happening. And, you know, I was able to share so freely with you in our one-on-one sessions that like sometimes I think I would just throw it all out there, and he would just sit there for a minute and be like, whoa, you know, because it's like, not that he wasn't able to hear it or perceive it or anything like that. It's like learning, like, how do you talk to another human being when you've never really been able to connect with yourself? And so it was also learning that, you know, when we go through a somatics class and when you're taking us through the Radiance program, it's bit by bit, it's piece by piece, and really like taking that in and going, okay, well, maybe this is how you then share yourself with the world. And maybe it doesn't have to be this big grand display to get it all out.
Right, right. And sometimes it's just about experimentation and like letting it all be big and messy for a moment and just see how that goes. And then next time that happens, maybe you do it a little bit differently because you had that experience of what it was like to just kind of like let it all hang out. And then the next time you're like, you know, maybe this time I'm just going to share this piece and I'm going to let the rest of this kind of marinate. I'm going to let the rest of this just kind of settle. And this is like the thing I'm going to focus on this time. You know, I've definitely been through that with my communication, and just, you're so right. Like, we don't have practice at it when we've never really done it before. We're in new territory of that kind of self-expression. So totally, totally relate to that. In terms of like some of the, you've had some really interesting experiences, especially at the beginning of the program. Like, I remember you were having these dreams. Could you say a little bit about your dreams?
Yeah. So, I don't even know if I can like articulate how weird it was. So when we first started, and if anyone isn't aware of the program, like, it is, you get a lot of like attention for yourself in like the most positive way. And there's, you know, you're forced to, again, in a positive way, spend time with yourself and do this work on yourself. And, you know, there was so much that we were doing that I had never done before, and was releasing all these things and feeling all these things. And I was having these like incredibly lucid dreams. And it was like I was walking through life and experiencing life and things I've been through in a way that like I didn't get to when I was experiencing it, because I wasn't equipped, I wasn't present, I wasn't, you know, I was numbing, I was doing all these things to avoid life. And I felt like I almost got to like go back and redo them and have conversations with people that I didn't get to have because I wasn't open. And I got to connect with people and like forgive people and ask for forgiveness and, you know, just all these things that, you know, you kind of wish you get to do as, you know, when you grow and change as a person. And like, I was having these dreams where I was able to do this, and, you know, whatever that means, it was incredibly powerful. And it just made me feel like it was working, for lack of a better way to say it. Like I was walking down the right path, and that, it was really healing these memories and these experiences that I had. And it was just incredible.
Yeah, it reminded me, you know, because you were also going simultaneously in, you know, as you went through the Radiance program, you were choosing, you know, an intentional period of sobriety in your life, you know, and a lot of times when people usually pretty early on in the beginning, where they like done a wrong to, and they apologize that they, you know, did that under the influence of whatever the drug or alcohol thing they were on. It was almost like your brain like did that with you and for you to like go back and like kind of self-correct these experiences and allow you to really like be heard and express and like, you know, say the things that needed to be said. And it was like a really, I mean, when you told me about that, I was, this is so beautiful. This is like such a beautiful internal work that your like consciousness is going through. And it seemed like very beautifully tied to your sobriety, you know, and facing these things in yourself and making space for yourself in your own body that you were doing in the Radiance program. You know, going back to that about the way that we, you know, the way that trauma and addiction are correlated and interrelated with each other. You know, there were things that happened in your early childhood, right, that were, and then continued like they do, you know, like they did in mine, like they continue to kind of cycle through, that we keep re-traumatizing ourselves or finding and attracting certain experiences that replicate like what we went through at one point when we were younger, right? And this fuels our dissociation. This fuels our escapism. Can you say a little bit about that? Because I know you've been learning a lot about this as well from a lot of different perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many interesting things to it because you know, like I magically was able to find ways to replay all the things that happened in so many different ways. And there were, you know, ways that were clearly unhealthy and partying and all that sort of stuff. And then there's also the ways that I thought were healthy and were good and were, you know, whatever words to put to it, but I was still perpetuating the same thing because I was still, whatever way I was coming at it, it was still this telling myself I'm not good enough, still playing that narrative in my head of like, yeah, well, they're doing it better. And, you know, whether it was staying out till 5 in the morning partying, or, you know, exercising like crazy or being strict on my diet, like whatever it was, I wanted to be the best at it to impress I don't know who, but it was, you know, replaying that childhood like trauma and fear of like, if I don't do this, I won't be good enough. And, you know, just playing it out in all these different scenarios. Yeah, and it's interesting that the somatic journey like allowed me to correlate them all together because I hadn't. And for me, I think when we started having the food conversation was where it sort of clicked that like I was doing that re-traumatizing and that replaying and staying in that uncomfortable place because it's what I knew. And it's, you know, it's comfortable to be uncomfortable because that's all I knew. And, you know, I realized that like I had been so conscious about what I was eating and doing all those sorts of things. But there were two things that I had never really thought about. And it was A, I cared so much about what was going in my body that I only wanted organic and no preservative. And I drank like a fish. So there was that. And there was also the fact that like I cared about it being quote unquote good, but I had not really thought about how it made me feel. And when we had that food conversation, it was like this light bulb going off that even when I was like doing what I thought was best, I was still continuing to re-traumatize my body, make it feel bad, and then have to escape from it because this healthy food I was eating, my body didn't like.
Right. And also just the, you know, some of the things we talk about in the food conversation, it's like I try as the best as I can to kind of present them like, here's some matter of fact like information. And then like, how are we processing this information? What does it bring up in us? You know, and it was interesting because I remember it was when I think it was when we were talking about like sodium and like the impact of like high amounts of sodium in our system. And after like that presentation, you were like, it may sound weird, but knowing this, like actually just knowing this information, while it seems kind of heavy, like actually makes me feel safer because it like just helps me like be like real or something, or just like know like what's really happening so that like I can, you know, understand that, navigate it instead of like not knowing that this is going on, not knowing that this is happening, and then like, you know, wondering why I'm having the experience I'm having, you know? Same with like food that we might consider, you know, really healthy. If we're eating it and our attitude towards ourselves while we're eating it is like an attitude of like self-punishment, you know, like we're trying to make up for something that we did, or, you know, punish ourselves in some way for like some food we ate that wasn't healthy, or, you know, drinking a lot or something. We're like putting that energy of like, you know, of like harm into the way that we're eating. We're putting our nervous system into this tense and fearful state while we're eating, and tense and fearful states are not good for our digestion. Like you said, if it's that same cycle of that same like issue that we've been like perpetuating in our lives, it's like we're creating that same experience again.
Yeah, intense and fearful is probably going to be the title of my autobiography if I ever write one. But yeah, I mean that's how like I had navigated through everything. It was this perpetually keeping myself in this state of, and I hope I can explain this right, of like needing to be massively in control of my body, and even doing things that seemed wildly out of control still allowed me to have control over my body. So even though they were making me not feel good, and they were making me sick, and they were making my anxiety feel worse, and all these sorts of things, like I still had control over it. So it wasn't a good thing, but it was this like, I feel out of control, but I have control over feeling out of control. And the thing with going through the Radiance program and really deep diving into somatics was this like being able to be in out of control situations and feeling okay because I now knew I legitimately had control over how I felt. And like I didn't have to feel good all the time, and I didn't have to move from a space of fear. Because I knew that no matter what happened, like I always had this safe space to come back to that was inside of me that I didn't need anything to access. And I didn't need a drug or an alcohol or a, you know, a person or, you know, anything else to get to it. That all I had to do was just take 5 minutes for myself and lay down on the floor, and I could come back to this like place of safe that all of a sudden the world just became way less scary in a way that I genuinely didn't know existed prior to doing it.
Yeah, that's so wonderful, because it really is like, you know, doing these little movements. And that's what, you know, it's what I've designed like this program to really do, is that it's a concentrated amount of time that you spend practicing this way of moving, this way of stimulating your neural pathways in your body, so that even if, for example, somebody completed the Radiance program and like decided to never like practice their somatic movement again, they would still have built this like ability. It would be like riding a bike, you know, that at any time in their life that they wanted to return to this, they would have already developed those pathways, you know. Like obviously, like if you continue to practice this on and on throughout your life, as I know you've continued to practice, you know, after the Radiance program ended, like you continue to develop and deepen those pathways. But it's those pathways, that access to your body internally, that I believe is what you're speaking about when you're talking about returning to this feeling of connection and safety. It's returning to the internal experience that you have built inside yourself, that you've built this like this world, this space, and it's literally represented in neural pathways that are sending signals throughout your body, and then sending signals back to your brain, giving you information about where you literally are in time and space. And that, you know, it sounds kind of like, I don't know, like geeky or something here, but it's part of what I have experienced, making me feel a sense of security in myself that I also didn't have before, that I can return to this self that I have now actually literally developed sensory pathways to experience.
Well, and I think the part that is so like, and I don't mean this word to sound cliche or anything like that, but like so revolutionary about like what you're putting together and like what you're able to give people is just we live in a world and a time and a society, and everything is exciting and it's loud and it's this and it's distracting. And, you know, we're being convinced on a daily, minute by minute, depending on your social media presence, you know, timeline of if you want to feel this, do this. And it's never if you want to do this, take a moment of quiet time and lay on the floor. It's if you want to feel happy, take this drug. If you want to feel happy, drink this drink. If you want to feel happy, eat this food. If you want to feel happy, go on this dating app. If you want, like, it's all these external inputs that we're convinced on a daily basis and that I bought into for my entire life happily. And, you know, all those things, no shame in any of that. But, you know, just we're told all these things are what we need to feel better. And even getting into more of a like holistic, healthy side of the world is also very scary because there are the people that feed that same line in that space. So there's a lot of very unsafe spaces in that. And so to have you being given, like I said, this revolutionary thing of like, I hear all that, but what if we just did these tiny little things? And what if we just took this time to, you know, to give to yourself? And what if you just took a moment to feel, how does your leg feel? Does it feel angry? Does it feel this? Does it feel that? All these things that, like, when you said that, like, I didn't know a leg could feel that till I started doing somatics. And so, you know, having these tools to learn that, like, all these things that we're taking and being given aren't how you feel safe and comfortable. Like, it's already in you. You just have to be given the way to access it is, I don't know, it was mind-blowing for me. Like, when you were talking about, like, can your leg, that you were so not present in your leg, and then as you were moving through it, you could feel that your leg felt angry and it, or it felt sad. Like, those were things that I didn't even realize like a body could feel until I started doing these things. And just being able to know that, like, I was, could access this safe space and this release and everything that I was looking for internally, as opposed to needing external input or help or, you know, anything like that to be able to truly connect and feel the way I was trying to feel. That was the part that was revolutionary to me.
Yes. And also the, you know, the idea that, you know, so much of what we are interacting with is about selling something to us and selling something like a product, right? Or selling something like a, like an app, right? And that, what, you know, what you're learning to do in the Radiance program is you're learning to access your own like self and your own happiness without, you know, you don't need, like you said, you don't need anybody else. You don't need any special device or any special environment to lay down on the floor and do 5 minutes of somatics to release the tension in your back or your shoulders. It's a very like independent kind of practice, you know, and that's something that I have really loved about it is just that, you know, with, I loved teaching yoga. I did, but there was this element to it that was like a business and we have to keep this person like coming back to the studio forever, right? And we have to like make the studio indispensable versus, you know, in the Radiance program, like it's a commitment of time and energy, but then like once you're done with it, like you have a, you know, hopefully you have a practice, you know what I mean, that like can you can carry with you. And I feel like there are some yoga studios and some yoga environments that cultivate that, that, you know, encourage that kind of independence and say, okay, you learn how to do these poses in such a way that you can do your yoga anytime, anywhere on your own. And then there are yoga environments that almost kind of encourage like that you need to come back to this studio and you need to be part of this culture in order to get the teachings, you know, that like you need, you know, the teacher there to tell you what to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny that you say that because one of the things that really stood out to me, like as we were starting to get to know each other, was, you know, you would come to my classes sometimes. And I remember one day, I don't know if we were, I think we were talking obviously outside of class. But you were like, I really appreciate you letting me do my somatic movement in your class. And it like, I was so confused when you first said that to me, because it didn't occur to me that someone would be so consumed with themselves that they would want you to do exactly what they were saying. And so, like, to me, it just made perfect sense that, like, sure, I'd be talking the class through, you know, how we're going to cool down from yoga. But if someone wanted to take a nap, or someone wanted to put their legs up on the wall, or someone wanted to move through a slightly different practice to cool themselves down, like, it never once occurred to me to come up to you and be like, hey, Amy, you know, we're all doing this pose right now. So it just, like, it blew my mind when you told me that. And it made me feel, like, really happy that I was creating this space where people could do what felt best in their body.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, that's probably because I came from a background of yoga that was very strict and rigid. And, like, we wanted everybody doing the same thing. And I was trained as a teacher to, like, try to keep everybody doing the same thing, you know, so that there was this, like, tight energy, you know, kind of this conformity within the class, you know. And we were, you know, encouraged to kind of call people out sometimes on doing other stuff. And so that was the background that I came from. So, you know, to be in a yoga class where that wasn't happening and I felt more free, you know, and sometimes it's not even that, like, the yoga teacher is going to come up to me and say something, but I can, like, feel it in their energy. I can, like, feel it in, like, the way that they're, like, looking over at me, or, like, not looking over at me, that, like, they would prefer that I do something else. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of energy. And then you can also just feel it when teachers are just like, yeah, you do you. And they just have this kind of relaxed, like, attitude about it, you know? So it's been very interesting for me to just go from such a different, like, way of being in my own personal practice, but also as a teacher, to kind of the other end of the spectrum where, you know, when I am teaching somatic movement classes, or even doing sessions with people, if people do something different than what I said to do, I do not, like, I mean, I might, like, let them know, like, oh, actually the movement we're doing is this, but usually I'll actually let them do whatever it is they were doing, like, the first few times. And then I'll let them know that, like, there's another way of doing this. And sometimes people will apologize and be like, oh, I was doing it wrong. And I'm like, no, 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 you weren't doing it wrong. You were doing exactly what your nervous system needed and wanted to do that felt right, like, based on, like, what you heard me say. So, like, it, what you were doing was right. And there's also, like, 5, 10, 15 other right ways to do this too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes me think back to when, like, when we first started working together and we did some, like, one-on-ones. And I remember one of the times, I don't remember if it was my arm or my leg. It was, who knows at that point, with my body. I was so disconnected. But you had asked me to relax some part of my body, like, into your arm. Like, you were, like, holding, I think, my foot or something like that. And you were like, okay, just relax into my arm. And I thought I was. And you were like, okay, and relax into my arm. And again, I thought I was. And then eventually you just were like, we're going to do this instead. Because it was, I think it was so obvious that, like, I was so disconnected that I didn't know what that meant, but, like, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And I feel like you bring that sort of energy through, you know, the whole Radiance program that I did, and just teaching in general, of this, like, you gave me a couple opportunities to try my best at it. It clearly wasn't working. And there was just this total feeling of, like, that was okay. And yeah, like, I loved that. Like, it was so nice to know that, like, I didn't have to be able to do that. I would get there. And I think that's how the whole program is.
And in regards to, like, that space in your body that wasn't quite accessible yet to, like, have it be able to relax or to know how to relax, right? Like, we, you know, it was probably different in a different area of your body. Like, you know, and that's one of those things that I have discovered a lot, is that it's all connected. And so maybe it's not really, like, working with, you know, this part of your body at this moment, but if we just move on to, like, a different area where you maybe have more neural connection, like, then suddenly becomes easy, right? And that's what we're always looking for in somatics, is what we call the direction of ease. Like, what can we do that feels easy? That's going to tell us, like, what the pattern is, like, what the primary pattern is in your body or in your consciousness. And we go with what's easy a number of times so that we can, like, really get that area to know how to change, right? even if it's changing only like 2% at a time. And then we can go over to those more difficult spaces that don't really have that connection. But the entire time, that leg or that arm has been listening and learning from the work that we're doing over in this other area that like has the ability to like do these things. And so it's just been so cool to like really feel and see with my clients that it's all connected. And no matter where we're working, whether we're working, you know, in like a way that seems really big and noticeable, or whether we're working in a way that seems really tiny and like change seems to be happening really slowly, like it's all going in, you know, at the right pace for this person and in the right timing, and just continuing to trust in that and help my clients, help people like you trust that on this somatic journey, there's no pressure to like arrive at a specific time, right?
Well, and I think that's the thing, how, you know, with the Radiance program, I feel like you have it so like beautifully sort of spread out. And, you know, how you were saying the left side is listening to the right side as you're doing the movements, and everything sort of connected. I feel like that was how it was going through the program. Like it felt like you're doing all these different things and, you know, learning somatic yoga and the food conversation and all the different things, but your whole body is listening and learning through every single part of that. And it was like, yes, the movement part was so important and doing the classes and doing all that, but like, so really was like the one-on-one time and feeling like, you know, I deserve to have this time and I need to focus on me. And then having the food conversation and, you know, being able to do that. And, you know, the somatic yoga, like I said, was probably the greatest yoga class I've ever taken in my life. And, you know, just feeling like my body was present and listening and learning through all these different things that we were doing really felt like it just came together into this like beautiful feeling of presence, like at the end of the whole program.
Right. That's awesome. I love that. It is experiential. And that's something that I've gotten a little bit better at, like kind of impressing upon and letting people know, like I have a round of the program going right now. And, you know, there's a couple of people in the program who like right away, like maybe they already had been doing a little bit of a daily practice. And then there were others that were, you know, for the first 2 months or so, like kind of struggling to develop a daily practice, you know. And while definitely say like, that's an important part of doing this work, of being able to do a little bit on your own every day, it was not something that I had like strong pressure on anybody to like do this now, you know, or that you're failing if you're not doing it, right? But what I did tell people is that, you know, the experience that you're having in the one-to-ones, the experience you're having when you show up to the calls, you're learning how to recreate that for yourself in 5 minutes, literally on your bedroom floor or on a hotel room floor, anytime that you want to. And that's part of what the daily practice is going to give you, is this experiential learning that you don't get like from just talking about it. Right? You get it through experiencing and doing it like enough times that it becomes something that's now part of you.
Well, and, you know, I struggled with a daily practice. And it's something, you know, that I either wouldn't make time for it because I didn't, you know, think I needed it or whatever reason I was telling myself. But, you know, not ever feeling that pressure of needing to show up to the, you know, the sessions we would have together and be like, oh yeah, I did it every day and I was really good at it. Like, you know, being able to come as I was. And, you know, I'm one of the things I experienced as I was going through this like somatic journey intensively was, you know, I felt emotions that I had never felt, and they were a little wild. Like I would feel these moments of like elation and anger and, you know, all these things that I had never felt. And just being able to move through those and not feel like, oh, I also then have to do this thing every day or I'm going to get in trouble, you know, not feeling that pressure was huge because it allowed me to do it at my own pace and to come as I was and to get there at my own time. And, you know, I do my practice in between work meetings. I lay on the floor of my office and, you know, I'll do it when I have something stressful coming up or right after I get done with a stressful call. And just having sometimes even 3 minutes to just close out the rest of the world and just help myself feel better has been, I mean, incredible.
Yeah, I love that. And you were also like doing a lot more, like you were pretty physically active during the Radiance program. And it was interesting because you were renovating a house, you were doing a lot of hiking and weightlifting and stuff. And I remember you talking about like some ways in which your body was changing. Like you said that you felt strong, you felt like really strong, carrying like big bags of concrete. You said that your you said that your butt became squishy, which I thought was so funny and so great. You were like, I never knew my butt could be squishy and yet feel like really strong at the same time. Would you say a little bit about like that as like, as someone who has an athletic background, like how was it to have your body shift?
Oh my God. Okay. So huge. So one of the things, like I talked about earlier about my active addictions would be like massive amounts of exercise and this feeling of like being firm and strong and all those sorts of things. And there was this big shift as I was going through the program, and like my body did feel like squishier and softer. And like my butt wasn't rock hard for like the first time in probably a while because, the muscles were actually relaxing and things were, allowed to not be tense all the time. And it was interesting because as things were starting to feel softer and relax and all these things, I was feeling more comfortable and I was carrying, bags of concrete and 40-pound things of tile up and down stairs. And it felt, I mean, as easy as those tasks can feel, but like it felt easy because my body wasn't on the verge of tensing and hurting itself. It was relaxed and it was able to do these movements with ease. And I backed off of the really intense exercise having gone through this program. I haven't been weightlifting and, I don't feel obligated to do those things. Like I'm walking and I'm hiking and I'm still doing all these things and paddleboarding and still being really active, but like it's no longer like that gold star that I have to get to have exercise, to earn X, Y, and Z. It's moving because my body wants to move and it feels good to move in it.
Yeah. And being, I mean, the things you just described, like hiking and kayaking or paddleboarding or whatever, like there's other elements to that that are also enjoyable rather than just the physical exertion, right? It's like being in nature. It's like maybe being with other people, maybe, being with your dogs or whatever. It's like being out in the world, versus like some of the ways that I used to exercise were very, I kind of obsessive and isolating, versus ways of exercising or ways of using our bodies that feel like connecting. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I think part of it is just knowing how to move my body in I mean, period, knowing how to move my body. Like I had been forcing it to move in the way that I had wanted it to move for so long. And now sort of like taking the time to honor like how it wants to move and how like what feels good in my body. And I don't know. It's just been a really interesting journey that I can't imagine having gotten to without going through the program.
Yeah. Oh man, it's been so cool to just watch you grow and develop. And so tell us a little bit about like since you've completed the program, which you graduated in May, right? And then you've been continuing, your practice. Like you had a few moments like where there were like pain flare-ups, but that you were able to do things that you learned how to do in the program to turn down that pain and that tension. And then more than that, I would also love you to share a little bit about like what it's been like, to be there for other people, because I know that like, one of the things that you were very good at throughout your life was like, helping others and being of support to others, but often like kind of kind of like an expense of yourself. And that I know that that has shifted in some ways, or that that has changed. Maybe you could say a little bit about both those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I definitely like it isn't some magic thing where now you're magically never going to feel pain again once you learn how to do this. But, I just doing the things that I do, I've, tweaked my back or like, had a flare up of something that used to bother me and it got really tense. And instead of panicking and freaking out and trying to distance myself from my body and all those sorts of things, I was able to give it kindness and give it love and give myself all those things and do the tiny movements and help it to feel better. And part of it is, you know, there was always this drive of, I hurt and I don't feel good and I have to fix it immediately. And being able to be patient with pain has been like a huge thing of knowing like this is uncomfortable and it's going to get a little bit better every time I do this and it's not going to go away right away. But if I'm just patient and I don't panic, I know that I'm going to get back to a place of ease. And I think that has been one of the biggest, most mind-blowing things, because that was not something I could have done before. It would have been, I have to take this, that, and the other thing and go do these other things so that I don't have to deal with this uncomfortable situation. And now it's like, it's okay. Give it a day or two. Keep doing what you're doing. Like, it's going to get better.
Totally. Like doing those little movements, even laying in bed or like, you know, taking 5 minutes and be like, oh, okay, that helped. I feel like I'm a little bit more relaxed. The pain's not completely gone yet, but yeah, just that patience. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And then also with like helping other people, to me, it was like, that was always how I like added value to relationships, was I helped other people with whatever it was that they needed. And it wasn't, you know, ill-intended or, you know, anyone was trying to do anything to hurt me, but I would put anything and everything aside to put another person's needs ahead of mine. And it was because like, that's how I felt good. It didn't matter that it didn't actually make me physically feel good, because it would, you know, oftentimes be at the detriment of myself. And learning how to be present in my body and learning how to feel good in my body has also helped me establish like boundaries with helping other people. So it's, you know, I'm here for you and I can do all these things and be that person that you need. And also remembering that that doesn't mean I'm a martyr and I have to go down, you know, too. Like, I can take care of myself and still be able to be there for other people and not let it take control of everything that I'm doing. And that, I mean, it's just been huge, and it's really allowed me to be there for people in a way that I couldn't before.
Yes. I think that what you just described about like the way that we would put everything aside and put ourselves aside and put ourselves last. And I can so relate to that. That's why I'm saying ourselves here, but like that compulsion to be like helpful, you know, to be someone's like savior, to really like give somebody our energy, it could turn very easily from something that had good intention to something that was just another form of escape from ourselves and escape from our own feelings and our own challenges, would just be like to pour all of our love and energy onto somebody else. And like, while that has good intentions and there are going to be people who are like hungry for that, it's not always the best for the receiver. It's not actually like helpful to them sometimes. It's more helpful sometimes for someone to get like some of your help and support and energy, and then also to have some space and to like be given some boundaries. Like, that is also to their benefit.
100%. And like, I could have never fathomed that concept until I, you know, got into a healthy space myself. But it's so true. I mean, I think having that, to me, it was almost like a desperate energy that I think I would give off of the like, whatever you need, I'm here, and whatever, like, I'm here for everything, I think isn't always comfortable for other people to receive. And I think being able to do it in a way that's respectful to myself and to the people that I love, I think has really been, it's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been just so amazing watching you go through the Radiance program, and thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing about like all the things that have opened up for you in the last year. I'm very excited to see like where this will take you. I know that like very early on in this process, you were like, someday I'm going to also be a somatic educator. I don't know if you considered that still, but I think you would be an awesome one someday if you decided to take that on.
It is still on the table. I would still love to do it. Yeah, I think I see it as like a like one of the future goals when the timing is right, for sure. I feel like it's gonna wander into my life the way that somatics has on so many occasions, and I would love to. I think it's a really beautiful practice to share with people.
Excellent. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much for your candidness and just for sharing the, you know, yeah, the pain that people can't see from the outside, right? The suffering that like human beings are experiencing that is not that's not visible unless you ask, unless someone tells, unless someone like is able to like express it in whatever way. Like those things that have remained hidden, it's not only amazing that you've been able to open them up and release them and move them, but that you're able to also share and talk about them at this point in your life. So bravo, I say, Amanda. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share it.
Yeah, great. Well, if anyone wants to connect with you, if someone resonated with your story, where could they reach out to you?
Oh my goodness. I don't have any public facing social media at this given moment. So I actually don't have any way. I don't know. I don't have any way. If I decide before this airs to open it up, it would be Amanda W Yoga on Instagram. But I have been quiet on it for so long. It's currently private, but I'll think about it.
Yeah. Think about it. That's just an option, just if somebody, you know, connected with your story and wanted to reach out, but totally, totally optional. So thank you again. We'll hear from you maybe sometime later on the program and catch up with you about how things are going.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Free Your Soma podcast. If you enjoyed this interview with Amanda and feel inspired to learn more about the Radiance program, please go to www.freeyoursoma.com. The next round starts November 4th. Podcast listeners will receive $500 off of the six-month program. I'm so excited to see you blossom and shine as the Soma, the being that you truly are. So much love to you.